The scripture today is Corinthians 1, 10, 1 through 13, and I'm reading from the New Standard Version Bible. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idlers as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overcome you that is common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing he also will also provide the way so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Now we need to hear another story. We need to hear another lesson. And we heard it last week, so it might seem familiar, but let's listen to it again. And let's stand, if you are comfortable and capable of standing, and hear the gospel. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather you, to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There's a movie, a play out called The Lion King. Have any of you heard of The Lion King? Simba and Mufasa and what's Mama Lion's name? Might be, and I cannot remember now, and I should have done some research on that. But the point of the Lion King reference here is they talk about the circle of life. They talk about here are lions eating the antelope, and the young lion is concerned, and he said, "Dad, we're eating them." He says, "But it's the circle of life, you see, because the antelope will eat us. You see, after our lives, we fall to the soil and we nourish the grass. And then antelope eat the grass, so we eat them and they will eat us. And it is the great circle of life." I'm thinking about circles of life and celebrations of life. And this came to mind as I was realizing we were saying goodbye to the Uttenreets and the McCarthys and the Hiromi and Willie and Noah and the Jamersons. And I guess I was in a little bit of pain there, just hurting a little bit. And at the same time, I was realizing some of the new people in our midst here, so we have some Montclarians that have come among us that have been new life and joined in us. And so we're celebrating their coming, and so life encircles. And as we send the Jamersons off, we know that they will go somewhere in California, and they will have another family, another church family. And so we will have relations. The Ottenreets will be in the midst of a church. You know they will. And their church will be connected to us through them. A great circle. And I thought about that, and I thought about the journeys of life and of journeys. And I thought about this church and the cycles that it's in the middle of. You know, churches are in cycles and waves and phases, and our society is in an interesting phase around churches and worship and gatherings. And I just want to show you. Renee, do you have that next slide, please? This is a slide of the attendance here at Burns. And on the left, it goes clear back to the year 2004. But then you see the very bottom of the little dip there to the right, that's 2014. And so as I was plotting this, your pastor is a plotting pastor. In the first year, the attendance seemed to be up a little, and I thought, well, that can be a fluke. And after 2 years, the attendance was up again, and I thought, well, it could be an anomaly. But now after 5 years, I believe it's a trend. I believe we're in the middle of a cycle, and that cycle is coming up again. There's going to be a time when you're going to rush to get to church to be early enough to get a seat. Amen? We have to make sure, in the midst of all that our finances also come up. We will need continued support. The choir needs our support. The youth needs our support. And our church itself needs our support. So be aware of it. But is this, we could have done the sermon instead about the phoenix falling and rising. But this isn't so much a phoenix because I do not know that we completely disintegrated. But we have gone through a cycle of some sort. And so something seems to be happening. We seem to be on our way. We're on our way somewhere, on our way. We are on our way in Lent. I wanted to remind the young people about Lent. They're thinking about that direction that we're going, and we all know what they were thinking, Easter. And we're thinking about Easter too, aren't we? And that's wonderful, but we have to travel through Lent first. And it's a gift to us, but that journey through Lent will lead us through the cross. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit will be with us every step of that journey, all the way through that, augmenting and carrying our faith. The scripture today was the same as the one last week. I had two sermons I started to preach last week, and I thought, I don't think I can get them to sit still that long. So I broke it in half, and we had one sermon last week, and now this sermon this week, about Jesus is on the way. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. This is Luke, and this is not a historical narrative. This is not something you're going to plot on a timeline. This is not 3 days in Jesus' life at all. This is metaphorical, isn't it? This is about him in the midst of his journey among us on the first day and on the second day. But that third day, he is on his way to that third day. That third day to finish his work and to go somewhere. See, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. He knows the journey, where the journey is taking him, as do we. But he's in the midst of doing ministry until that happens. He's curing, he's casting out demons, he's loving, he's offering hospitality, he's caring for others. He's showing us an example on how we are to be. Yes, we are on our way as well. We have each month decided to list one of the different mission things we've done. I put Deb to work, and so every month she has a different thing that she'll share with us about missions that we do. And we don't often brag about them. the first pastor, I was the associate pastor in Fort Morgan under Keith Merriman. And I do believe that I would not be in ministry had I not been with him. He was a wonderful mentor. But he said, sad is the dog that can't wag its own tail. Think about that a little while. Sometimes we do things and we're hesitant. We don't want to be bragging about things. We don't want to be egocentric. But on the other hand, when we accomplish something, we need to acknowledge it too. So here is Deb helping us be aware of some of the mission that this church does that isn't always known throughout. But the church is on a journey. We saw that graph. Thank you for changing it, Renee. I forgot to tell you to do so, but you did anyway. But we are also personally on our way as well. Our journeys are not going to be the same. Yours is not the same as mine. But each of our personal journeys has some piece of traveling with Christ through this Lenten journey. It was different when I was younger. Now my hair is changing color a little bit, and it's getting a little thin back here, and that's a sign of something. I haven't figured out what yet. But I'm on a journey as well, and something is happening there. But as I think about things that are coming and looking ahead, I tend to do that too much sometimes. Because that's day three. Today and tomorrow, Jesus said, I'm curing and healing and caring for the others. And teaching people that there is a greater rule than all of the laws and the restrictions. And he was healing people on the Sabbath. He was disobeying laws about the lepers. They were unclean and you could not approach them. And yet he approached them and he healed them. And women were a part of his ministry. He was including women at a time when that was not done. Jesus was moving humanity on because he was obeying that greater law of love one another. Jesus was moving on to that third day. You see, he was under a divine imperative. One of the commentators that I was reading on the scripture, that was the phrase he used, and I thought, what a delightful phrase, a divine imperative. Jesus knew where he had to go. He knew what was before him. That night in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember, he said, Lord, if this cup can be passed from me, but not my will, Lord, yours. He didn't desire that. He knew it was what he needed to do. He knew it was the divine imperative. So that circle of life. It seemed like just the other day we were celebrating Jesus in the manger, the baby born. Wasn't that just yesterday? Well, all right, so it was 2 or 3 months ago, but it was not long ago. There was the baby, and remember Joseph and Mary and the angels and the shepherds, and just so briefly ago. And then the baptism. We just barely got this young man baptized, Jesus, and the Spirit came out of the clouds. This is my beloved Son, upon whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. It just happened, and here now we're talking about a journey, a divine imperative that leads to the cross. But in the meantime, in those 2 days before, Don picked the hymn this morning. That first one is one that I have never been familiar with. This congregation knows it fairly well, and it has been interesting for me to learn it. Charles Wesley. And he says, in Christ a hearty welcome find. That's what he's about in those first couple of days, isn't it? Isn't that what he's about? And isn't that what he teaches us? A hearty welcome, a greeting, a love one another, an offering of inclusion. But that third day will come. And death. Death and then life again. Easter. But not yet. Not yet. We still have to come to the cross. That cross is before us. And that cross includes some of his trials, tribulations, and pains. Did you hear what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth this morning? Did you hear what Debbie read us? She said, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone." I kind of hate that. I always think that when I go through something awful that I'm the only one and people should feel really sorry for me. Then you find out somebody else has been through it or something worse, and it just kind of lets the air out of your balloon. No testing has overcome you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and God will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. I remember distinctly being in high school and thinking, I wonder what it's going to be like 20 years from now. I wonder what I'm going to be doing. I know I'll have a fast car. I'll be very wealthy. But I'd like to know my future. Looking back now, I'm thinking, had I known that, I would have been terrified. Had I known what was in store for me and the things that I would face, I'd say, I can't do those things. I can't endure those things. I can't make my way through those things. And yet I have somehow. Have you realized that you have inner capacities that you didn't know you had? Have you realized that there are things that you thought you could never get through that you've gotten through? And out of that, we journey in the same way that Christ did. Being Christian doesn't mean that it's a rose garden unless you include the thorns. But the good news is that Jesus is with us and we are never alone in the midst of that. See, we're on our way. We're on our way journeying through Lent, and that journey will take us through the cross and then to resurrection. And to from this mortal existence, trials, tribulations, joys, and sorrows, to resplendent existence. Resplendent existence with Christ. Today and tomorrow is our journey. The third day will take care of itself. Let us be about journeying. Let us be about celebrating Christ with us in that journey in Lent. Amen.